Grace to you and peace, because the tomb is empty, your Savior is no longer dead. Because of that, you and I rejoice this day in the forgiveness of our sins and the assurance of all that He has said. As you and I rejoice in our Lord and our God, we wish to focus our attention on this one little verse from Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He was handed over to death because of our trespasses, and was raised to life because of our justification. This is the word of our Lord. What do you say? Many of you are already here for our sunrise service, and along with the women, we have begun to let this amazing truth begin to dawn on us, as begins to realize just exactly what's going on here, because our experience says when you bury someone, that's where they stay. No wonder they had difficulties wrapping their heads around what was going on. No wonder when the disciples heard the report of the women, they scratched their heads and it didn't make any sense. I mean, what do you say? What do you say on a day like this? Maybe you say things like, "He is risen."
He is risen indeed.
Because what do you say? How amazing it is to rejoice in the fact that He is alive. Easter is crucial. Easter is so crucial because without Easter, we wouldn't need to celebrate Christmas. Without Easter, we wouldn't need to celebrate anything. Without Easter, we would have nothing. And so we rejoice in another one of these crucial moments in your life, one of these crucial moments in your salvation, and we marvel at what our Lord and our Savior is all about. Easter is crucial. He had to be handed over. And He had to be raised. He had to be handed over. That's a word you've been hearing a lot lately. That's a word that's come up periodically now. You first heard that word when He was handed over to His enemies. That's what Judas did. We translated the word at that time betray, but that's what Judas did. For those 30 pieces of silver, which he thought were so valuable and he just had to have, he handed over Jesus. When we gathered here on Friday, we heard that word again. There we heard the fact that Jesus handed over His Spirit, handed over His life, once He had accomplished everything and declared it to be finished. And now we hear the word again as the Apostle Paul is inspired to marvel at the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior. He says He had to be handed over. Paul just simply writes He had to be handed over. All of our translations add to death, which makes sense. Obviously, that's what he's thinking about. But you think about why He was handed over, and you think about that it was more than just the fact that He had to die. He had to be handed over to suffer. And part of what makes this day so amazing, and maybe part of what makes this also speechless for us yet, is the fact that we still have that suffering in our minds. We're still seeing the floggings. We still think about the beatings. We still think about the pain and the agony of being there on that cross. All of those things that He was handed over to. He was handed over for ridicule. The leaders made fun of Him. The criminals made fun of Him. Passers-by made fun of Him. Made fun of His claim as Lord and Savior. Made fun of His claim to be the King. He was handed over for ridicule. Desertion and denial. All those disciples who on that Monday, Thursday evening said, "We are going to stand by you, even if everybody else would deny you, we never will." And yet, when the shepherd was struck, the sheep scattered, and they all ran, and Judas betrayed, and Peter denied. You think about all of those things that He was handed over for. And He was handed over to all of those things, and of course it culminates in His death. He had to be handed over. Easter is crucial. He had to be handed over to death. Why? Why did He have to be handed over to death? Well, we're told it's because of our trespasses. Trespasses is a word that describes a misstep. You find yourself someplace where you don't want to be. Trespass is this idea that you've got this false step going on. You've crossed a line. You've got this failure that has taken place. And sometimes the word describes a failure that wasn't premeditated. It wasn't pre-planned. And you can think of times when you know you failed, but you didn't plan it that way. And perhaps some of these things are beyond your control. And all of a sudden you found yourself where you didn't want to be. But here you are. And sometimes we console ourselves by saying, well, I didn't plan it this way, and this was kind of out of my control, so here's where we are. But it's still a failure. It still doesn't measure up. It still isn't where our God wants us to be, and it still isn't what He expects us to be. And if there's a failure, there's a payment. If there is sin, there is guilt. And where there is guilt, something has to be paid. Somebody's got to be handed over. It has to. Who should be handed over? I suppose it makes sense that if I'm the one that found myself where I'm not supposed to be, I suppose it makes sense that if you're the one who's got the misstep and you're the one who has the failure, then you're the one who should be handed over. Then we are the ones who should be handed over to the suffering. We are the ones who should deal with the fact that it's our sin, therefore it is our death, therefore it is our hell that ought to be paid. That'd be fair. We should be handed over for all the times when I perhaps use that excuse that it wasn't planned to justify my sin and to say that it really wasn't a failure. I'm the one that should be handed over. And yet here is Jesus. He had to be handed over. He was handed over to death for our trespasses. It wasn't His. Jesus didn't have to pay for His own sin. Jesus wasn't there because He found Himself someplace He didn't want to be. Jesus wasn't there because He's the one that crossed the line. Jesus wasn't there because He defied His Lord and His God, which is why when He was handed over and He started paying for sin, He didn't have to pay for His. He could pay for mine. Easter is crucial. He had to be handed over. Your sin's paid for. Your guilt is gone. Your hell is removed. It is all completely wiped away. It is gone because He had to be handed over. No wonder we say, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Easter is crucial. And not only was He handed over, but He had to be raised. Now, we've come across that word a couple times too already. You think about Jesus on His way to visit Jairus. Jairus had come to Him because his daughter was sick. And as Jesus was en route, Jairus' daughter dies. And yet when Jesus arrives, she is raised. Or perhaps you think about as Jesus was making His way into that town of Nain, He comes across the funeral procession. Here is a young man who's been dead a little bit longer than Jairus' daughter was by the time Jesus got there. The funeral procession had already started. They're making their way out to the cemetery. And Jesus gives that young man his life back. He's raised. Or very recently, you think about Lazarus. He's been in the tomb 4 days already by the time Jesus arrives. And yet Jesus says, "Roll the stone away, Lazarus come out." And He is raised. Jesus did all of that. It was Jesus' mighty word. It was Jesus' mighty power. He is the one who gave life to all those people. And now, it's His turn. Easter is crucial because He had to be raised. Why? He had to be raised to prove that He is the Son of God. He had to be raised to prove that when He said, "I am the one who's going to lay down my life," only to take it up again. In order for those promises to be kept, he had to be raised. He had to be raised to prove that every promise that had been given, every concept that was necessary for the salvation of the world had to be met perfectly, had to be met in full. Because if there was anything left, if there was anything imperfect, if there was anything left undone, then he's no different than you and me, and he stays in that grave. He had to be raised to prove every promise has been kept. The Apostle Paul put it this way, he was raised to life because of our justification. Remember Friday. It is finished. Because it's finished, because it's done, because as of that moment when he paid for the sin of the world, he declared the world just. At that moment, your guilt had been wiped clean. At that moment, you are no longer standing as guilty in front of your Heavenly Father. You stand innocent with that guilt, with that verdict of not guilty. That's yours. And because of your justification, Christ had to rise. To underline, underscore, and prove you are forgiven. And now you know what that means. Jesus is alive. Jesus lives. Jesus continues to watch over you and he continues to guide you. And now you and I rejoice in the fact that because he lives, he's not the only one who's going to be rising. We just read it in the second lesson. There will be some who are still here in this world when our Lord and our Savior returns. But whether we have fallen asleep or not, we will all be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, and this mortal body with all of the perishable things that go along with it, it will be changed into that immortal and that imperishable. And we are going to rise, and we are going to live, and we are going to be with our Lord and our Savior forever. And that life is already yours. We are already saying, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O sin is your sting? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Easter is crucial. He had to rise. You have to rise. That life's already yours. You already have the glories of heaven waiting for you. Already guaranteed to you. So what do you say? I mean, how do you respond to something like that? How do you rejoice enough in something like that? You get so excited that your voice starts to go. He is living. He is ruling. He's the one who watches over us. No wonder we've said it at least three times now, we're going to say it again at least one more time, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.